Hello, and welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans. I'm David Bailey, and over the past nearly 12 years, this podcast has taken on many forms, from interviews and audio diaries to cultural snapshots and expat reflections. You might notice some different podcast names mentioned along the way, but it's all part of the same journey, one that explores life, people, and stories from this fascinating region I now call home. If you're enjoying the listen, I'd love it if you left a quick review or rating wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps others discover the show. And if something in the episode sparks your interest or curiosity, why not drop me a message? I always enjoy hearing from listeners. I always reply.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovich Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
This is the Balkan Adventures Podcast, everyday life and experiences in the Western Balkans.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Balkan Adventures Podcast with me, David Bailey. Last year, well, about this time last year, actually, I interviewed Jose Angelo Galagos, a YouTuber and filmmaker from California. Jose had just arrived in Banja Luka, having previously produced and published Bittersweet Bosnia, his first film about BIH, on YouTube. We talked about filmmaking, social media, the region, the country, and much more, especially what attracted a Mexican-American to come to this part of the world. So it was a real treat to find out that Jose, whose latest project is a film about Albania, was coming back to Banja Luka. So we met up and spent a fast and furious 20-hour creativity camp here in the village. We discussed many tech tips and tricks, and for me, it was a chance to fly a pro drone for the first time. Okay, and some rakia was consumed, but we did find some time just to sit down in the sun and catch up.
You've come back to Bosnia-Herzegovina. We last spoke, was it a year ago?
Yeah.
At the Hotel Bosnia, we did a podcast. One thing I like about the cars in this country is you can always tell that in the countryside that they're like not perfect. Did you hear that? That was an absolute ace squeal of a fan belt that is most probably going to cause that engine so much work. But no, you came here a year ago. We talked, we sat in the centre of Banja Luka, I remember. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about what brought somebody from California mm-hmm. to Bosnia. And if you want to find out about what Jose's answer was to that, I'll put a link to that podcast. But you're back.
Yep.
The Balkans bit you seriously if you've come back again.
It's been 5 years in a row now. My mom gets angry at me. Why are you going to the Balkans? You got your family back in Mexico. I can't believe it. It's 5 years in a row. Being consistent, and I don't want to lose sight of that. I want to continue coming every summer.
Funny that you were mentioning your mum, because last night you had to get up from the table here.
Yes.
And your mother was calling you. So family means a lot
absolutely
for Mexican people. How do you sort of like equate the family, the way, the feeling of family in the Mexican culture to the very, very strong effects of family here in the Balkans?
Family is, I think, my story of being an immigrant in America, and that is one of the values that has been instilled in me from the beginning. Always take care of your family, always be loyal, always support them. And coming to the Balkans, the people I've formed relationships with here that started off with friends are my family too. And it's like, Mom, I have to go see my other family over there. I have my family of Serbians, I have my family of people in Bosnia, and now I want to expand that and have family all over the Balkans. But that is something that's very instilled with me.
How difficult has it been to accept Balkan culture? For me, coming from Northern Europe, from the United Kingdom, it was, I have to be honest with you, a huge shock to the way of life here, to the way of life that I had experienced before. And it's taken me somewhere in the region of 15 years to get used to it. And I don't think I'm still there, if I can use that phrase. I mean, you're coming from even further afield from me. Is it easy to accept?
I'm very progressive with my views. So at times it does, can be a bit frustrating of how some people aren't as accepting to new things. Let's say being gay as one issue, or being coexisting with different cultures and accepting everyone for the way they are and whatever. So that, but I see that as an opportunity to, let's talk about that. Let's be uncomfortable and hash out everything. But I think what I have been able to do is just tell everyone that, you know, we're all the same. We're all going through some challenge, through some problems, and we just need to be kind to each other. And by doing that, I think in these conversations, and they see that I'm trying to do that for them. I'm trying to show them, hey, you know, the whole world thinks, you know, Serbians are bad people, but I'm trying to show that that's not the case. That's your politics. Same with people in Bosnia. I'm trying to show, you know, people for who they are. So it does get frustrating, but I do understand why people think the way that they do, and, you know, because they're brainwashed with media. But it's I always see that as an opportunity. Actually, let's have a discussion about that.
If people go to your YouTube channel, they see that you've taken time, even in your own home country, to go down to the wall, build the wall, and to talk to immigrants about the reality of the situation that they're in. And the reality is not the perception that most people get, like you said, in the media. When you talk about the Balkans to non-Balkan people, there is equally a really twisted perception. How difficult is that when you get back to, like, California and you say you've been to the Balkans, apart from people saying, is there still a war on? How do you square it with them to try and tell them what the reality of it is?
Yeah, and, you know, every time I go on a trip, they're like, oh, where are you going next? And they're like, Bosnia. And they're like, oh, it's always oh, or why, or, and the good thing now is, you know, I've made several films about the Balkans, so I have been to so many incredible, beautiful places here. And I just, you know, show them, I'm like, watch my videos, and they watch and they're like, wow, like, this place is incredible. And I had no idea that this place existed. Most of the time, most Americans aren't very aware of our geography. We know that there's Canada, Mexico, and then Europe, and then, you know, all these other countries, but they're not very aware of what's going on here. It's always, again, an opportunity to show them and teach them and say, like, wow, this place actually can teach us a lot for Americans. You know, coming here to the Balkans, I've learned how to sit in silence, you know, be really engaged in a conversation when you have coffee, learn how to live less. In a sense, you know, in America, everyone's trying to go after this minimalism kind of life, but here they're practicing that, you know, they've been doing that for the last, you know, 20, 30 years, or maybe even before that, but they do more with less. And I find it ironic. It's like the people here are trying to be more Western, and then the people in Western countries are trying to go back. I think there's a balance there. And that's why I love being able to come here, spend my summers here, but also go back in America and be immersed in that culture. I love America for being super inspiring in the sense that, you know, if you have a dream, you know, go for it and do whatever it takes. And I love that about America. And America's like, let's fucking do this. Let's go out. But at the same time, there's that burnout that like that becomes part of your, that becomes really the only part of your identity, that my role and whatever I do. And when I come to the Balkans, it grounds me. It's like, no, it's about being present around, you know, family and friends and having values and just enjoy having a dinner and be present.
I'd like to pick up on you saying doing more with less. Before you came here to Bosnia this time, returning to Bosnia this time, you've just spent a number of weeks in Albania.
Mm-hmm.
And you said last night that one of the striking points was this difference between, I don't know what phrase you used, like, well, I'll say, the super rich and normality. There's yes. no middle. And you said it's amazing how they seem to survive with very, very little. That must be striking when you compare that to the United States.
Absolutely. I don't think I've ever seen so many Range Rovers in a neighborhood, or BMWs or Mercedes, but then also see, you know, people on the street with like cars from the 40s, 50s. So that was a super contrast. I only spent a few weeks there because I had to come up here to pick up my drone because I want to get some amazing footage.
We just had a bit of a crash today, to be honest. Yes.
And you know what? This is why I actually left the drone, because I crashed it last time. So me and drones are... This is why Canada outlawed it. But I was only there for a few weeks, so I don't know the underlying problems, the roots of really what's going on in Albania. And I don't like to, you know, jump to assumptions. And just like in Serbia, it took me, you know, a couple of years to really understand the people, to really to know what it is to live in Serbia and what a Serbian is like. So I think that's why my first video, like, it really resonated with a lot of Serbians. And I think with my Bosnian film, you know, I was here for 3 months, and I don't think it was quite there as far as really understanding the daily life of the people in Bosnia. But I think, you know, having 3 months did give me a good understanding. But Albania, I need to be there for a good few months to really understand, to meet people. I didn't really meet people. I just met my host. But I do hope to go back. And my goal is each year to do one country in the Balkans. And I think the great opportunity I have is that when someone watches a Serbian video, they'll go to see the Bosnian video and they'll see the Albania. And I think that's I'm understanding now that it's powerful, because they can see that all these perceptions or all these lies or rumors about, you know, our neighbors are not true. And they can see that, you know, they're the same.
You're very focused on the story as Absolutely. A filmmaker. And you said to me, who cares about the tech? In relative terms, it's all about the story. Your storytelling technique is very raw. It's very, you know, with the greatest amount of respect, it's not Steven Spielberg, but it has more impact because it's actually looking at the people, I would say in an English phrase, warts and all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of stuff that you see on YouTube and on the internet is super polished and, you know, color graded to perfection, and it doesn't really tell the reality as it is. But to tell a story and to tell a true story, sometimes you have to go outside your comfort zone with the possibility of maybe insulting people that you're filming. Do you find that at all?
Yeah, in the beginning, especially just to, you know, pull out your phone, and it can be a bit intimidating. And for example, when I was in shooting Bittersweet Bosnia, I stayed at a local's house in Kravica in the Republika Srpska. And the first time, it was really hard for me to, you know, put the camera out. And but when I finally did, people weren't comfortable with it. They're like, what are you doing? And people did not want to be around the camera. So I was there for a few days. I left and I came back and I was like, okay, I'm going to try this again. And I came back, and by that time I formed relationships with people. And it's the same exact thing as like people opening up to you. no one's going to do it on the first try. You know, like, who are you? You need to, let's have some dinners first. Let's get to know each other. Once people start to feel more comfortable with you and understanding why you're doing it, then it's easy to be able to have them tell their stories.
You're going to be leaving us in a few hours, and then you're taking the train down to Sarajevo. Trains in Bosnia are very far and few between. And you went to Doboj.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like going to Doboj by train? Honestly.
I got to the train station and I was like, okay, this is a, you know, run down and like no electricity. I was walking under the tunnel and I was like, whoa, this is kind of raw. But as soon as I got into, was greeted by the trainsman and he let me in and smiled. I went in and, you know, it did look like something probably from 50 years ago. But the people are just warm. That always keeps me going. And even in like sketchy situations throughout the Balkans, like there's always that warm smile or people always saying Dobar dan. When the train started, it was like, I was like, oh God, this is going to be a very long train ride. But after that, the train ride was just going into the beautiful countryside. It was so green and you were able to see all the locals living with their houses. You can see kids playing, people getting off and, you know, hugging their mom and dads or getting off school. And it was so beautiful. And I was just waving to people and they would wave back. And that moment I was just like, wow, this is my life. I'm very lucky. And as a kid, I dreamed of this. You know, I watched the Travel Channel and I watched, what's his name? The Crocodile Hunter.
I can't remember. Steve something.
Yeah, Steve or Samantha Brown on Travel Channel. And but going to Doboj was great. I met a friend there who I actually worked on Upwork, which is a freelancing site. And he took me in to their house. He gave me that bottle.
We'll look at the rakia in a moment.
And it was great.
Would you say it's a must do when you come to the country? Take a train ride.
Absolutely. Hell yeah. And the sketchier it is, the better it is. Like, if it doesn't, I think if you can capture a vacation or experience or travel in your travels, if you can have a little bit of all those emotions, it kind of, you know, keeps you alive. You know, if everything's all scheduled and everything's AC'd, everything has Wi-Fi and you're super comfy, then you're not really feeling, you know, the whole. The experience is not as powerful.
Yeah, I always say, do less, experience more.
Yes.
Talking about experiencing more, when you leave Bosnia Herzegovina this time, where do you go next?
I don't know. The plan was for me to stay in the Balkans for the whole summer and just kind of, you know, capture interesting stories. But I just had an interview for a project back in the States for a show. And at this point, I'm willing to work with other teams. I want to learn as much as possible. And if I can work with a well-established production team and just learn, become a sponge, that's going to help me just become a better filmmaker, better storyteller. So right now, I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm still going to continue making films wherever I go. The Balkans is always going to be one of those topics that is always going to be of interest. Immigrant stories in America is one that, you know, is my story. So I'm definitely going to continue that and just laugh along the way. And I want to continue to just have that same theme of uncovering the truth. You know, there's a perception, but let's find out the real truth, whether it's at the border wall, or, you know, person in Albania, or you know, something in Russia. That's always going to be the core of my content.
And finally, my dear chap, when you're away from the Balkans and you're meeting non-Balkan persons, what is the one thing that you include in when you talk about the Balkans to non-Western Balkan people? What is the one thing that you always include in your descriptions or talks?
This region has lost a lot. And because of that, people know how to appreciate every moment, appreciate every dinner, appreciate every, you know, cheers you do. And that's something that the whole world can learn from the Balkans, is just how to laugh, how to eat, how to drink coffee. You guys, they're experts at it here. We can learn from that. But it's always the warmth and the heart of the people.
I say thanks a lot.
Thank you. And I'll see you
on the next one.
Yeah, for sure.
Jose Angelo Galagos, a YouTuber and filmmaker from California. Jose has now gone off for more adventures, and I can assure you we will be keeping in touch and keeping you updated. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you do like it, please subscribe, share it with your friends. And there is a button in the show notes if you'd like to buy me a coffee so that we can help keep this podcast going. That would be greatly appreciated. And for those that have been sending me messages about Tamara, who's recently had her gallbladder removed, she's back on the road to recovery. So until the next episode, do stay safe wherever you are.
To find out more about us and where we live, why not check out our blog at anenglishmaninthebalkans.com. See you next time.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with me, David Pacinovic Bailey. In this podcast, you'll get a unique look at life in Bosnia and Herzegovina through my eyes, the eyes of an immigrant. Each episode, I share my experiences living in this often misunderstood country and introduce you to some of the interesting people I've met along the way. From exploring the rich culture and history to discussing the challenges and joys of immigrating to a new country, this podcast offers a thoughtful and engaging look at life in the Western Balkans. So that's it for this one. Thanks for keeping me company. If you enjoyed the episode, maybe share it with a friend who might like it too. And if you've got thoughts, questions, or just want to say hello, you can always reach out. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast and help me keep telling these stories, you can drop a little tip via Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the show notes. Even a euro or two makes a big difference. So that's it then. Take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode.